I trust you know that as your pastor, I don't determine what truth is based on, you know, the best-selling Christian author's book or the most prominent opinion of the day or whatever. I go to God's Word, to the Bible, and I look to allow the Bible to interpret the Bible and get insights from other sources. But that's the way I travel. I go that route. I don't look for most popular. What's the Bible have to say on a particular issue? And the problem is, with interpreting the Bible, anyone, it doesn't matter if it's me, it doesn't matter if it's you, whoever it is, when you're interpreting something and you come across something you don't like, there can be this incentive, this temptation to maybe kind of not take it the way that it is. You know, find something that allows you to take it differently, basically allow you to wrongly interpret what it's saying. Maybe not look at the other passages and bring those in and allow the Bible to interpret the Bible, but you find something, you can kind of make it work the way that you like it, so therefore that's what you go with and you like what it says, so you leave it. But the problem is when you do that, you're making a wrong application. And when you apply things wrong, bad things happen. We have this old camper in our backyard, and I was winterizing it here a couple weeks ago. I guess it'd been 3 weeks ago. But anyways, it's an older camper, and it's not designed very well. But there's in the back corner there's a couch, and that's where the water tank is and the pump. And you need the pump is where you use that to suck in all the antifreeze and everything else. And the thing is, in order to get at this, you have to lift up the couch, and it's on hinges, so it's just sitting there. And then you have, and it's down low, and you have to bend down. You have to get under the couch, between the couch, and it can only go back so far because it hits the wall. And you're under there, like if anybody ever sat on it, you'd be decapitated. Like it's just terrible design. But anyways, you're in there. Within this pump, there's this hose there, and I wanted that. I want to use it for something else, and I don't think it was ever taken off of this camper from the 90s. And anyway, so I took the clamp off and I tried to pull out the line and that wouldn't work, so that wasn't going to happen. So it was just kind of seized on there. And I was kind of looking at it. Actually, it was in the evening. I had my flashlight from anyways. I was looking at it, and I thought, okay, it looks like you can turn it. So if I get my hand in there and I think I can turn that. If I turn it, maybe I can just twist it off and then I'll be able to use it. So I got my hand in there and started to twist a little bit. It was not really going really good, so I gave a little more of a snap. Broke it. Pump's ruined. Jumping. Ruined. Destroyed. Have to get a new pump maybe next year. Thankfully, I already winterized the trailer. But what I did is simply what I did, put my hand there and I applied. I applied it in a way that it wasn't. That fitting was not supposed to turn. I realized that after. I turned the wrong fitting. I'm not a plumber by any means. But anyways, I snapped it. Wrong application. And that's the way God's Word works. Because it's to be applied to our lives. It's very practical. When we look into God's Word, we study God's Word, there's applications that we're going to make. And when we look into God's Word, and we apply what it says wrongly, there's a snap that's going to happen in our lives. And in different areas, all over the place. And I share that because the passage of Scripture that we're going to be reading today, you're going to read it or you've read it, and when you have, you've had this temptation to not take it the way you want it to because it probably says something you really don't like. So the temptation is to apply it wrongly. So we're going to read this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus there teaching his followers, there's a number of people present, he's teaching them the things of the kingdom of God and how teaching them various truths of from himself. And he shares what we're going to be reading today. And before we read this, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what's contained, and I thank you for your Spirit that teaches us and prompts us. And God, I pray against our temptation to not apply what it says, because there's something about it that we don't like, so we look to apply it differently. And God, I pray in relation to what we're going to be covering today, may we be sensitive to what is shared. May we be sensitive to make application in our own life and apply it properly, correctly, God. So I seek you in this, and I pray as I share it, God, I pray your Spirit would make people receptive through the truths of your word, and God, not just receptive, but look to make application, God. And I pray for myself with the things that are taught here. May I make application in these areas, God, knowing that it's an area I don't particularly like. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 1 to 6. And this is what it says. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. What's being said here has to do with judging others. And there's two different angles that you can take this. There's the angle which I'm sure maybe you've said or you've heard other people use this. Somebody calls somebody out on something, and the response is like, who are you to you can't judge me. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge other people. Don't you judge me. Don't do that. Did you read in the Bible? Jesus says, do not judge. So there's that side. And then there's the other side. And on this side, it's interesting because you go from the other form where it's like there's this temptation to, you know, I don't like calling people out. And here's the reality. If you need to confront someone about something, and sometimes it's not such a big deal, sometimes it is a bigger deal, kind of depending on how big of a deal it is, depends how sick your stomach feels when you need to talk to the person about something. And what we do is we look at this passage and say, oh good, Jesus said not to judge. Do not judge. That's great, because I really don't want to have to talk to this person because that's awkward. Like, I don't want to come alongside and tell them they shouldn't be doing that or they should be doing that because that would be judging, you know? And Jesus said not to judge. And thankfully, because I really would not want to talk to that person. So just, I'm cleared. So there's two angles that we can take with us. And what we're going to see before us that Jesus, in relation to judging, he's telling us what not to do, but he also tells us what to do. So there's a lot that gets uncovered here. First of all, I want to look at what Jesus tells us not to do, verses 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The word judge, in the Greek, it's krinet, is the word we translate from. We get our English word critic from, and oftentimes you think of a critic, you think of, just being critical and tearing down, and sometimes this is the focus that we take. We in relation to judging someone else, we just look to tear down and not have all the information, not have all the facts, just kind of lay into the person. And in this situation, sometimes we can develop what could be called like a God complex. And I would guess you probably have experienced a God complex, and what it is. It's when someone does something, you see it or you've heard that someone did something, and what you do is you become all knowing and you know why they did that and the wrong reasons that they did that, and you kinda have it all figured out in your own head. That's what happened. I know why and what and when and where, and that's what happened. I got it all figured out in my own head. That terrible person. How could they do that? And what you don't do is you don't realize maybe you've heard something from someone else, you don't know all the information, or you see something and you don't ask any questions. You just allow all the assumptions to come in. With all the assumptions, you call someone out, you kind of tear them down, and you're not right. Thinking back to myself, probably one of the different times this has happened, but one time, very prominent, was when I was running a youth program in Winnipeg, and this young guy was, he was in at this drop-in center that we had. There'd be 40, 50 kids there at lunchtime, and his name was Gennady, and just kind of coming around some, and kind of hung around with a bit of, kind of the party crowd, and he came in to youth group, and I was just so encouraged to see him in, but he's in there. I saw him, and his eyes were just red. It's like, what are you, kind of, I'm just looking, and I'm seeing, he's in there, and I'm so frustrated. Like, he's got himself high, and he's come to the church youth group to just kind of hide out and be high, and I just kind of having a bad day, and I went over to him, and I just kind of, what are you thinking? I know what you're doing. You're here, and I can tell you're high. I want you to come, but don't be getting high and then coming here to hide out. Just kind of no questions. What's up? How you doing? What's going? None of that. Just boom. Just laid right into him. It turns out he had an eye infection, and pink eye, and his eyes were red. And at first he said it, and it's kind of like, yeah, right, you think I'm... And then I'm seeing, there's oozing stuff in his eyes. Like, oh, chumps. I'd figured it all out, His eyes are red. He got as high as a kite, and he came to youth group to hide out. I'm just laying... I never asked one question. Just went up to him. Just, boom, laid into him. And that's like this God complex that we develop. We think we know all the, what's going on and everything, because certain things that we see, and we fill in all the blanks, and we act on them. And Jesus tells us, don't judge in the relationship. Don't be rash and critical without knowing all the information. Because when you make false judgments, things don't go well. That wasn't great for our relationship. We still had a relationship after that, but that wasn't a real high point. There's a story, an account out of ancient Persia. There's this king that was present, but 600 BC and Persia, and there was this king, and he had different judges that would oversee different rulings. And there's one particular judge. It was determined that he took a bribe, and he took the bribe in order to give false judgment in order for somebody to get away with something. So he was not judging properly. And there was a huge consequence, because what happened is the judge actually had this man executed, killed. And then what he did is actually he had him skinned, and his skin was put on the judgment seat. And then every time anybody would go to judge, they would sit on that seat of this man's skin, which is really gross and disgusting, but it would be a really strong incentive not to take a bribe, not to give false judgments. Here Jesus makes aware that there's a consequence to making judgments in the wrong manner. He says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be used back to you. According to some teachings of Jesus at this time, God had two measures in which he judged people. One was the measure of mercy, and one was the measure of justice. And the question was, how do you want God to judge you? With mercy, not giving you what you deserve, or justice, giving you just exactly what you deserve at that time? And then there's also this idea of what you are giving, it'll be measured back to you. I mean, you've experienced this. You've played this out in your own life, where there's, somebody does something, and you're critical of them, and you falsely judge them. You don't have all the information. You lay into them. And what do they do? And they look at you, and they pick out something that they're critical of. They don't have all the information. They falsely judge you. And back and forth, and measure what you measure out is measured right back to you. And what that does, it's this spiral in your relationship, and things are going down and down and down. And maybe you're in that right now. You're just laying on the judgment there. You're getting it right back, and things are just spiraling. You just need to stop. Because you keep giving it back, it's just going to keep going back to you. I want to just encourage you if you're going to make right judgments, because we are to judge at times. There's certain judgments that we are to make. And we'll see that highlighted as we go, but there's some questions you need to ask yourself. Verse 3, and it says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? And then it goes on, or how can you say to another brother, let me remove the speck from your own eye, and look, the plank is now in your own eye. It's troubling, but sometimes with the fact is, when we call someone out, when we look to criticize and tear someone down, there's this hidden incentive in us, because if we tear them down, it makes us look better. If we can call them out at something, it makes us look like a better person. I want to share with you Luke 18, 9 to 14. The Pharisees, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, that's they were famous for this. They just tear people down and they make themselves look really good. And this is the account. It says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So it's this incentive. It's like the Pharisee, he's looking like, you know, look at this terrible tax collector and look at me. He's terrible, but I'm great. I'll tear him down and make me look better. And you don't want that to be you. Like you don't want to be the one who's tearing other people down to make yourself look good. So that's, if your incentive, if you see someone doing something, it's like, you know, I'm going to call them out in that. You know, because when I do, man, I'm going to look great. It's going to really pump me up. That's a wrong incentive. I want to share with you Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens so you fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, you need to determine, like, if someone does something, you need to determine, like, you realize they're doing something wrong, you need to question, like, am I able to confront this person? Am I someone who can come alongside and confront them? Because first of all, you need to make the determination that they are doing something, but you need to question, like, as far as your motive, why are you doing it? And the reason why is you want to see restoration. You're not doing it because you want to build yourself up. You care about this person. You love this person. You want to see restoration happening in their life, and you want to come alongside for that purpose. That's the reason. You know they're not doing well spiritually. You know they lost the joy and satisfaction, and God's just not where it was, and you come alongside because you care about them. That's the reason. If you're going to do it, and that's your reason, then you're on the right track. I mean, verses 4 and 5 here, it says, or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look in the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So you realize you want there to be restoration in this person's life. Now, something else you need to consider, like, are you able to come alongside this person? Are you able to speak in their lives? I mean, take something like, man, this person, they're always down on things. We talked about being thankful earlier. You know, you just cultivate a life of being thankful. You realize somebody, you know, another believer just complains all the time. Well, can you come along that side of that person? Do you want to see restoration in their lives? That's wonderful. But the thing is, are you someone who complains all the time? Because if you're a constant complainer and you come alongside somebody who complains, it doesn't reflect well. They're not going to take it well. And there's other areas, maybe Maybe you got some hidden sins, and you're looking at porn on your phone or your computer, and then you see someone, you know, they're looking at Sports Illustrated magazine, and they're looking at the girls and the magazines, and can you come alongside looking at porn, calling somebody out for looking at a magazine? And here's the thing: Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, then things aren't right, so you don't deal with this; you just leave it." That's not what he says. He says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The thing is, you are to call the person, you are to come alongside, you want to see restoration in their life. There's something in your life that doesn't match up. You know, there's something in your life you're struggling with. We'll look to work on that, look to address that, and address it, and come alongside someone and help them and speak in their life, help them restore what's been lost. So you need to ask, what's your motive? Am I able to confront this person? And something else you want to ask yourself is, do I have a relationship that I can actually, can I come alongside? I mean, this is something that you need to determine, because if someone knows you care about them, they know that you really want to see them move forward, then you're in a position you can come alongside and they'll receive that. But if you don't know the person and you don't have a great relationship with them, you're not really positioned where they're going to receive it well. And sometimes you just have to call people out in certain things because they're doing it. But ideally, you're in a relationship that you can come alongside and you can speak into life and they receive it well because they know you really do care about them. So the question there is, do I have the relationship that I can come alongside? Another question is, how do I go about confronting the person? We're going to talk to them. How do I go about doing that? James 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For you, doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You need to pray about it. Like confronting someone's no small thing. I tell you, I don't know how many people have, you know, you call somebody, you know, some people, they step away from church, maybe for a while or maybe forever, because there's something they're doing, and somebody comes alongside and they call. It's not some flippant thing you just jump into, and you know, and you just go for. You pray about it. And you don't take the opt-out, well, I don't need to call this person out. Well, actually, yeah, you do. Because if you're looking for restoration to happen, you need to call them out because this is something they struggle with. So you pray about it. What do I say? What do I do? How do I go about it? How do I approach this? So it's not something that you jump into, but you pray and look for discernment. And if you're going to talk to the person, if you do, whatever you do, you don't just go based on third-hand information. You know, well, you did this. Well, whoa. That's not. Ask the person. I had heard something. I don't know if it's accurate, but is this accurate? If it is, you know what? Then something. You need to do something about that. But you pray for wisdom, you pray for discernment, and you seek out information from the person you're talking to. And all of this, it's cloaked under Galatians 1, 2, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, bearing one another's burdens. And it's, you go in and just, you want to see this person restored. You know what's in their life is robbing them, and you want to see restoration happen. And then we have verse 6. It says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. This is something that's kind of in here, and it has to do with judging other people, but it has to do with all the teachings of Jesus. So it covers this and covers everything else. You see, dogs in Jesus' day and swine, pigs, like we think of swine, you know, Porky the pig, or you know, you think of like a clean pig. Pigs were nasty and evil, and they could kill you. They take their tusks, they tear you apart. Dogs, you know, we all have, a lot of us have dogs live in our houses and they're all groomed and, you know, and take them to groomer or whatever and get stuff for their teeth. It's ridiculous. But anyways, in Jesus' day, dogs, they were scavengers. That's what they did. They just scavenged around. They're just looking for food, eat anything and everything. And Jesus says, be careful you're not give what is holy to dogs. Or because what they were careful to when they would give sacrifices in Jesus' day, they would not just leave the remainder of the sacrifice and put it outside just for like something that a dog just come along and snap up and eat. It was something sacred. And then with pearls, you just picture if a pig is coming to get some, you start throwing pearls out. The pig doesn't care. Rip your pert. Pig's not going to stop for pearls. And then this is a hard one just to know when does this apply? And but it's like sometimes there are people that you can be sharing the truths of God's word, the teachings of God, and they're disgusted by it. It has no value to them. They want nothing to do with it. And sometimes they need a season before that changes or whatever, but sometimes people are just, they see no value in it, and for them it's just disgusting or it's a joke. I want to share with you Luke 23, verses 8 to 9. This is Jesus with Herod. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. So this is like he should be crucified. They sent him to see Herod. He was just ecstatic. He's going to see Jesus. That sounds really good. For he had desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him and hoped to see some miracles done by him. What that's saying is Herod wanted to be entertained. He'd love to see Jesus and do some tricks and entertain me and do some things. That'd be great. No, he doesn't care what he has to say. Doesn't care about his teaching. Shouldn't do this. It's like entertain me. You give me something that just makes me laugh or makes me happy, but that's what I want. That was Herod. It's like he's one of the pigs, or he's one of the dogs. Just, you could give him pearls, he doesn't care. Just a big joke to him. And what did Jesus say? Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus didn't say anything to him. It's just sometimes you need discernment. This is a hard one, because I can't tell you just when, and you know, but it's there's certain situations too in Scripture. First Peter talks about a wife and an unbelieving husband, and when the wife and the husband is against what she believes, it doesn't say start sharing with them, share the truths of God's word, share the kingdom. It doesn't say any of that. It says actually just, you know what, just need to be quiet about it. Just allow him to see the testimony in your life, because he's at that point. You start throwing him pearls, he's going to trample them under. Bunch of foolish, and don't talk about that stuff. But you let him see that God's doing something in your life. You're a different person. And when he sees that, it draws them. Matthew 7, 1 to 6, it tells us some things we don't like. We don't like anybody speaking into our life. We don't like being confronted. You know, it's not a pleasant thing. It's kind of uneasy. I've experienced that side of, you know, somebody, you know, this needs to be addressed. Ooh, it hurts. Don't like that. And then there's the other side when you need to confront someone. I find that even worse. You got to come alongside and, you know, and you know, sometimes it's not a big deal, but sometimes the big deals just make you sick to your stomach. But there's times that they need to happen. So you should ask yourself, if you're going to confront someone, what's my motivation? I mean, am I able to confront this person? Do I have something glaring in my life that I'm not dealing with? Or what's my relationship with this person? And how should I confront them? The thing is, confronting someone, it's not just a suggestion. It's something that we are to do. First, take this back out of your own eye. Because some will say, well, judge not, or you'll be judged. That's where they'll go to. You don't judge not, nor you'll be judged. Well, that's verse one. But then you got to get down to verse five. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. At that point, that's what you're doing. You are addressing what needs to be done. To close, I want to share a couple verses with you, because I want to give you something, because when somebody comes alongside you, they truly do care about you. They address something that you should deal with. I want to leave with these verses, because I want you to kind of go away with this. Proverbs 9, verses 8 and 9. it just kind of Proverbs is best. It's a book of truisms, these are truths and wisdom and things you can make application of. It says, "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." What's that saying? Is you come along someone who the Bible would describe as wise. Doesn't mean they have it all together. Doesn't mean they don't mess up. But it means when you come alongside them and you speak into their lives and make them aware of something, they're thankful. They don't like it. Nobody likes to necessarily have something addressed in their lives. But they're thankful. And what they do is they make application. And when they make application, they become wiser. You address someone and they just who do you think you are? And you're coming with the right motive and you have a relationship with it. It's like what they're doing is they're showing they're a scoffer. What the Proverbs call, they're being foolish. That's a foolish thing to do. I tell you, it's a very good reflection of someone's character, how they respond when someone comes alongside them and addresses something in the right way. I'm not saying somebody, you can do it in the wrong way, and that's not what I'm talking about. Somebody comes and they truly care about you, they come alongside, they speak into your life, right then and there, how you respond, that's a reflection of your character at that time. And it's always good to keep in mind this too. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because I can tell you, if somebody truly cares about you and they come alongside and they address something in your life, that's a friend. Because I tell you, if somebody really doesn't care, it's a lot easier just let it go. It's like, I'm just going to leave it. Because I don't want to, it's just awkward. But really, if you truly care about this person as a believer and you want to see them grow in their life, then it's like if you're a true friend, then you do come alongside. And I want to share a bit of wisdom with you as well. And when someone does come alongside too, it's not always if someone come along and they bring something up in your life. Here's something that you need to do on the other end when someone comes in. At that point, you really need to assess too, is this person someone whom I should respect? I remember Steve Jantz when we were in Winnipeg, and he was telling me a story when he was in the previous church, and this guy came into his office, another believer in the church, and just laid into him about something. And, it's kind of took him back. And then he was talking to his lead pastor, and the pastor asked him, he said, "Well, this person, I want to ask you, Steve, do you respect this person?" I don't know just where this guy was at spiritually. But anyways, he laid into Steve. And the pastor asked him, he said, "Do you respect this person?" Steve was like, "Well, not really. Does he live out what he's challenging you on?" "No, not really." Those are things to assess too. What I'm saying is, someone calls you out doesn't mean okay, if they called me out, then that's the way it is. But also, it's like, who's it coming from? Is this someone I respect? If it is someone I respect, then it's something that I'm to make application of. I'm not saying every time somebody calls you, because you're going to get criticized in various aspects of life. Every time somebody criticizes you doesn't mean that's the right. That's something you need to apply. You need to assess, is this someone I respect in this area? Is this valid? And if it is valid, and you know all the information, if it's valid, then be wise with it and make application to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the challenges in your word, God, because apart from them, we'd just be going all over the place. We thank you that there's direction given in your word, and there's means in which we're to relate with one another. And God, I just pray that we would be a church that would come alongside others when we need to bring about restoration. And God, I pray that we'd be a church that would receive instruction when it comes from others who truly do care about us and want us to experience what's best. And God, I pray we'd respond properly in that. So God, I seek you in this. I thank you, God, that you do care about us, and you do guide and direct and through your word and through your spirit, God. And I just pray we'd live this out. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.